Heavenly Father, we just take pause and ask that by the Holy Spirit that our Lord Jesus Christ would be honored in our midst and lifted up. I just think when we're home, what a wonderful praise to the risen Lamb gave his life for us. But we can do it now as much as you and empower us to do that, to honor you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Guide our thoughts, I ask, in your name. Amen. I'm going to read those last three verses of Hebrews 11 that have become so meaningful to me that I want to share some thoughts again from that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John 14:23, as Jesus is sharing so many things about before he goes away, to not let our hearts be troubled, and the preparations that he made in his absence. But in John 14:23, it says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Lord Jesus really shared, I think, especially of two main ways of his interacting in our lives. And John 15 is that we abide in him and he abides in us. And then this passage in Matthew 11 of being able to yoke up with him and that he will work through us. I would say earlier, as I was thinking about sharing on this again, I woke up thinking, I'm talking about things that we can't see, and for the most part, mainly don't feel, but it came so, it's by faith. It's by faith, by believing. And then something I hadn't thought about for years just came by, it was words of John Greenleaf Whittier, nothing before, nothing behind, the steps of faith fall on the seeming void and find the rock beneath. I like that. We step out in faith, and it seems maybe often it's in the void. And so, and I can testify more and more the reality of what it means and what it comes out of it if we will yoke up with Jesus, if we'll abide in him. I just want to share some thoughts on those two things today. And I guess my heart's desire is that more and more we would realize the reality of, do you think of that? He said, my Father will come and we will make our abode in you. Does the Lord, the living God, live in you today, and you know it, and you're counting on it? He says, if you love me and keep my words. It's the same commitment to know that all things are working together for good over in Romans. But in abiding in him, it's a reality that Christ is living in me and I in him, and that he is empowering us by his presence to do his business. The fruit then that comes out of that, the results from that, reminds us it's not ours. For Jesus said in John 15:5, without me ye can do nothing. Now he's talking of that it has real value, that it honors God and it comes from God. We can't do that, but he can do that through us. So that's if so important in abiding in him, not only that we stay in fellowship with him, if we are convicted, you shouldn't have done that, that's sin, that we confess it, that we stay in fellowship with him and in dependence on him. I will say that personally, And we, I'd say both of us, we affirm daily that we continue to abide in him. Maybe it doesn't have to be affirmed, but we want to remind ourselves and to live in that kind of state where we indeed are abiding in him. And one of the reasons that I think that is so important, 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to come and receive us to himself, but we want to be abiding in him. We can do it then in confidence and don't have to fear being ashamed at his coming. So this matter of, that's one of the ways of God's being in us and working through us, to abide in him. And I just want to say, this isn't just for somebody that's a Bible teacher or a pastor or doing every supposed to be spiritual things in your everyday things. He wants to be involved in that. I guess I'd remind of My Heart, Christ's Home. I think Munger presented it well, that we've invited him into our life and he lives in every aspect of our lives. My word is abide in him. But then I want to come back to this matter of yoking up with him. Now that is, I guess I see abiding in him as a consistent, constant thing that should be going on in our Christian life. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are burdened down." I think most of us, if we really realize as a Christian and live like we should, we need to bring it to him. And I see that in coming special thing. I got a message, Lord, I bring that to you. I want to yoke up with you so that you're doing the bulk of the thing that's being done. But he come to, there are 3 points I want to, for rest. He said, "Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." I don't talk about that rest. Then he says that we'll learn of him. And then finally, he says, you'll find rest to your souls. I see the rest to your soul a little different than the rest he promised when we come to him. So I just remind us, in fact, I want to just read 3 verses from Hebrews. I've talked to this before because in the scripture that our brother read this morning, there it talked about they wouldn't enter to my rest. They didn't believe me. And I want to just remind us again what that rest looks like, what that rest is. And it's not going to sleep and taking a nap. Anyway, and in Hebrews, he addresses, and I'll just read 3 verses. 4, verse 9. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest," God's rest, "he hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." And just quickly reminding what that rest is all about. It gets called God's rest. God had told Moses to tell the people, they were languishing as servants under Pharaoh in hard bondage. And he said, "I'm the Lord thy God. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to release you from the slavery of Egypt. I will be a God to you, and you'll be my people. And I will bring you in, and I'll give it to you." He's talking about bringing them out, which he did, or across the Red Sea, and then in preparation gave them 10 commandments and the relationship with him and the rules of that, took them up to Kadesh Barnea. I suppose they were out there several months. Sent in 40 spies. Look through the land. This is a land that God said, "I give it to you." So they come back and they, other than Joshua and Caleb, can't do it. There's giants. There's walled cities. There's no way we can do it. And they discouraged the people. Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it. If God does it, we can do it." God said, You won't enter it. He called it my rest. And if you won't enter into my rest, you're going to have to wander in the wilderness. It's carnal living. It's a picture of carnal living. God taking care of them with manna, but nothing like they really wanted till those who were a certain age above died off. And ultimately then, with Joshua, brought them into his rest. And a couple of things about his rest. It was so important there early in Joshua that Joshua met a man with a sword drawn right outside of Jericho. I think Jericho is probably one of the big things that they said, we can't do it. And Joshua said, are you on our side or their side? He said, no, I come as captain of the host of the Lord. I think there's no doubt a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ was there to take over. He said, you're standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes and worship me. And he took over and led them. His rest was full of battles. His rest was full of taking the land back. He gave them hailstorms. He gave them all kinds of things, very active. And I won't read it, but at the end, Joshua says, I'm ready to go home now. And I just want you to know, he has done everything he said he would do. He has not failed of anything he promised to do. That's God's rest. And I believe when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and I will give you rest, I'm gonna be active in your life. I'm going to work in such a way that we'll get done what's on my heart. Enter into his rest. And the writer of Hebrews, that's what he's saying. Don't fail to enter his rest by unbelief. It'd be easy to be like them. They said, we can't do it. But I just remind you a couple things. God had said, I give you the land. He also said that again. He had brought them out. He opened the Red Sea. He'd taken care of them. But they wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't trust him to do it. Now, in his rest, I would also say, as long as they followed the captain of the host of the Lord, they were winning. There was one time, you know, because there was sin in the camp, and they said to the Gibeonites, just take up a few thousand. It's not going to be a hard battle. And they were defeated. 36 died. So if in his rest, he has to continue be in charge. And we're not in charge. That's his rest. So important to listen to God. The second thing he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. And I think the Word of God is full of, especially New Testament and Old Testament, pointing to learn about Jesus, to learn who he is, to learn what he did. I found there's a different kind of learning if you're yoked up with him, depending on him, and taking you into situations and seeing what happens. You learn more about him. You learn that he may take you into a situation, I wasn't really going to go there, but Jesus says to go, and see what he does. It's timing, it's all sorts of things. Learning of him, learning his compassion for those who desperately need him. So very important to not only walk with him in abiding, but walk with him in yoking up with him and learning of how he approaches things, learning how to have victory in this situation, and a very special thing, what he involves you in and what he sees you through. There's a whole experience of learning of him practically beyond what we read about him. And then thirdly, I just think the rest of your soul is a different rest than the active rest of what he's doing through your life. And and I would just say it's not just something typically spiritual. Your everyday job, your everyday meetings, your marriage, your relationships. He wants you to yoke up with him for all of them and guide you in it, that you'll be doing it right. But then he says, I'm going to give you rest to your souls. Two verses. Jesus really wants us to have peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Again in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I told you about an hour of frustration. I had to confess the Lord. I'm not letting your peace reign in me and not knowing what to do here. But he's quick to forgive. Confess it to him and to work things through. I just want to, I guess, reemphasize, we can read it in the Word. He's come to live in those who love him and do what he says. The reality of the Lord in your life, he really wants it to be a very real thing. He came, we remember this morning, he came and gave his life for us, to redeem us, to rescue us out of fallen, sinful nature, to bring us into God's family. But I want you to know, while we're here, he wants to be so involved in every one of our lives. He wants to be so involved that what's going on in our lives, maybe daily business, things you have to do, but he is involved in doing it through you and in you. And he wants to be with us. And we look forward to, and we'll be with him, but he wants to be with us here. So before we just partake of the Lord's Supper, I would just ask all of us, is my walk with you, Lord, what it ought to be? Am I really believing like I should? Am I yielding to you? Am I abiding in you? Tough gets tough. Do I yoke up with you? Let's just examine our hearts before we partake, remembering Jesus Christ and what he did for us there on the cross. Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning for the reality of your life lived in us. And Lord, we're all probably at different degrees of affirming that, realizing that, living that. But you really want it to be alive. You really want it to be real in our lives. I pray that we would learn, Lord Jesus, indeed, to rest in you and allow you to work through us. Prepare our hearts, I pray then, Lord Jesus, for the Lord's Supper. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
We are so grateful, Lord. I pray that we would be diligent in sharing the wonderful news with others that you bring our way, that need to know that you died for the sins of the world. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.